Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Roarcast. My name is James Price, here to take you through the odyssey that is supporting the Brisbane Roar Football Club. And things have happened since we've last recorded. I think it's fair to say some things have happened. World War III might have started. Russia v Ukraine. That seemed to cause some, a bit of consternation. Some football got cancelled. Brisbane basically flooded. Northern Rivers were even worse than Brisbane. Sydney now seems like it's copping it. So, maybe that whole climate change thing has just really come home to roast. And Shane Warne died out of nowhere in Thailand, in Koh Samui. Wonder what he was doing there. But anyway, I won $200 in poker and I won it off these two guys who have joined me. How are we, good sirs? Mr. Dave Stewart.
Yeah, good, mate. Good. I'm glad. Look, I'm just happy I could donate to the James Price flood recovery fund. I know you weren't flooded, but everyone was hit, so it's important to support each other in times like these.
I was nearly on an island. Not quite. And Mr. Danny Butler. Actually, I didn't technically win money off you on the weekend.
I donated to the contribution by providing location and cleaning and free food.
Yes, the sustenance that got me to my glorious victory.
And we should mention that this isn't Mr. James Price one-time poker champ. This was two separate tournaments that he won in the one sitting.
I know.
Let's just say the second game was a side game. That wasn't the game. Yeah, he claims the poker tournament champion hat, but it only counts as one.
Let's be honest, if someone had beaten me in that one, they would have been claiming they were the champion.
It's quite clear that was only the one. It's fine.
The second round was all the people out for revenge, and then you beat them again. So way more satisfying.
You know how many times, the number of times we had to ask Pricey to come join the game because we just really wanted to get some of that money back. Fucking failed. This isn't the Pricey Wins at Poker podcast, though. Although that would be great podcast on all its own, especially with that one fucking hand where you cleaned out four people.
Exactly.
That was I can tell you, of all the things I did on Saturday, and that included watching Brisbane play, poker was more fun.
Yeah, that one with that hand where four people were knocked out with three separate side pots going, that was a glorious hand of poker. Anyway.
I'm glad I was out of that. Anyway, carry on. You host the show, Brian. We're at least 3 minutes in and people are listening to you.
What are the people here for?
They're here for a little bit of banter. Come on, first up, what's been happening in our lives? And I think you should know this, as we are all safe from the flooding, so nothing too affected by any of us. But if
anyone would like to help reopen my kid's kindy, that would be fucking great, because having him here for three whole weeks is driving me up the fucking wall.
3 weeks, jeez, that's rough.
Two weeks by the end. Hopefully he'll be back next week. And if he's not, I think some self-harm might happen. No, that's a bad thing, so I shouldn't say that. That's a terrible thing to say.
This is what all the people sign in for. Listen to the Roarcast.
I love my child. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, Pricey, get this show under control.
That's it. Let's start with a bit of the A-League Women's, because there's been plenty of their action since we last recorded. So we've got three games of theirs to cover off. One against Melbourne City, and then a two-parter home and away series against Newcastle Jets, as it turned out. But we'll start with the Melbourne City game. So it was Melbourne City 0, Brisbane Roar 1, Mariel Eka in the 26th minute, the Brazilian star scoring past Melissa Barbieri. Bookings in that one, Shay Connors picked up in the 35th, which was actually took her out of the next game. So I'm not sure what the requirement of cards is in the women's competition before you get a suspension, but whatever it is, Shay Connors got it. Most of them for dodgy forward tackles. Liam Edmondson, obviously ex of this part of the world, in the 56th minute for Melbourne City. Rihanna Poliacina, the 90+2, and Melissa Barbieri, which we'll get onto in a second, got one right at the end of the game. 850.
Incidentally, she's on four yellow cards, so I doubt that yellows, seems to be the threshold.
The threshold, which is probably about right for the length of the club season. 857 people in attendance. Dave, how good was this game?
This is fucking great, mate. This is really great. Melbourne City were the obviously on the attack more. They were the ones pushing, but I don't think they ever really created a huge number of chances. Nothing major that was really kind of threatening, Shuttleworth in goals. It's, yeah, I mean, they had more shots. They had a few more on target. They had plenty more of the ball. But yeah, I didn't feel like we were overrun. And when we did have an opportunity, we were quick to try and take it. We weren't sending everyone forward by any means, but we were absolutely putting forward the players that were putting, you know, there to put some pressure on their back line and put pressure on Barbieri. Yep. The goal itself is a great kind of example of that with a, you know, a quick long throw in across into the box, and Eka, who just was quick to respond to get to that cross first. So yeah, it was okay to watch.
We know where this goes. Like, it sets us on a bit of a path. Like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah. Yeah, well, crazy. I wasn't expecting it. I was 100% expecting to get beat, and theoretically, it's kind of made sure that Sydney ended up taking home the title, because it was that result. You know, those 3 points that City were probably expecting, to be honest, it ends up costing them the league. So it's, yeah, a big result in terms of the context of the season. Sadly, it allowed Sydney to win the league, but it's still a big result in the context of the whole season. And, yeah, like, really, really sort of solid team effort. And our first clean sheet of the season to Isabella Shuttleworth.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Fourth or third keeper? One of those two, but... She wasn't top two keepers, that's for sure, and yeah, and she's pulled out the first clean sheet of the year. So, yeah, excellent work by the entire squad in that particular game. Really, really impressed.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game, wasn't it? We just showed a lot of grit and determination that obviously they'd worked hard after the 8-2 loss, and yeah, it sort of came back and just obviously really wanted to put in that effort defensively after conceding so many goals and all that. That's the sort of response you want. So, and yeah, it was just a really hard earned victory, but they played really well to get it, I think. And that was the pleasing part. It's definitely probably their best game of the season, even though we got on to probably some much bigger wins, and there's some nice bits about that. But I think in the overall result of the season, absolutely best victory. And yeah, the only disappointment is it probably gave Sydney FC the championship. But, yeah, well, when it comes to women's football, Melbourne City, Sydney FC, they're about the same.
It's going
to
be one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Off one, it's just a nice little win for us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. So, now, Tave, what did you reckon about right at the end there? Did you really get to the goal there?
Yeah, we touched on the goal there. I think, yeah. I mentioned off with a long throw-in to Connor's little cross-in and Hecker with the little kind of flick past Bubs. Just at the near post there. It was a bit hard
to work out exactly what happened from the TV angles, but it turned out to be just a couple of nice little touches, didn't it?
Yeah, just quick. They knew what they wanted to do. They caught City off guard and made sure they got in behind and made the most of it. We didn't get a whole lot of chances, but the fact we're able to take advantage of one so early set the game up nicely. I thought if it was just kind of middle of the game, I think City would have still believed that they were, you know, we'll just carry on, just, I think, but this one probably shocked him a little bit, kind of woke him up a bit, because it was still midway through the first half. If it was at the death, they would have just thrown everything at the end, but it allowed us to set ourselves up, and yeah, I thought it was a really well taken goal.
Absolutely, and yeah, well, that's probably the other main talking point right at the end was Bubs, just sort of that, yeah, they're handling out, it looked like she was outside the box. You know, even Michael Theo, I think, was yelling that was definitely outside the box with how far she handled it. So like a nice little throwback reference, yeah. Yeah, just sort of dive on, and she was lucky to go with a yellow and not a penalty there, because it was, well, I guess it wouldn't have been a penalty because it was outside the box. Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a penalty, but it would have definitely been a red card.
Yeah, definitely a red card.
and we would have seen... actually, no, we wouldn't have seen... they would have had another substitute up their sleeve from the looks of things, so they would have been able to bring their other keeper on, but it's a shame.
They were chasing. They were chasing the lead, mate. They had all attack. No time to put another keeper on.
They've got to have someone nominated as the keeper, mate. That's
bring on a new striker.
Would have been nice to see Winnie Heatley in the goals or something.
Yeah, I mean, they had no struggles in the box. That was one of the in their game. That was one of their. I mean, that was probably the lucky part. We copped them when then, you know, Hannah Wilkinson and Stoddy were off with the Kiwi team over in the US and not having a great time over there. The Kiwi team. So you know, we got lucky in that they were sort of down on attackers and who was there? Is it Holly McNamara? Just did her ACL like the week before, so they were down on sort of attacking numbers and you know that sort of they were trying to work their way through that and just couldn't. So yeah, anyway, it's good to think and probably. Last thing was just the American away support. Ken and Klaus family all there.
Yeah.
Go and mention Laura. Yeah, it was great to see. And it was just an awesome moment because obviously I'm guessing it's been a long time since the fans come out. And all got out here and got to see a play. And I tell you what, there was photos going around after the game, and you would have seen these, Dave. I know through social media of a photo of her with like everyone, and she has just got the biggest smile on her face as Ken and Klaus.
For sure, so. And look. Clough had a massive game in that game too. She was excellent. So she pulled out one of her better games of the season in that one. And she got to do it in front of all of her family, friends, and obviously there was the massive photos and whatnot afterwards as well, where the whole team was there in front of the away support. Bloody Durga getting his face into everything. but you know, that was really cool. That was really, really cool. And you don't get to see that all that much. And obviously, the fact they won made that even better. I don't know if it was going to be as willing to have a team photo in front of all the fans if they'd kind of come out with a 3-1 loss or something like that. But the fact that they had a chance to or had that win and then got a chance to celebrate it with all the family and friends coming out, that's excellent. That was really great to see. Mm.
Yeah, and ironically, we ended with a better record in Melbourne than we will probably in Brisbane for the year.
Undefeated in Melbourne for the dub.
Hey, that's pretty good when both teams made the finals. That's a pretty good record. It's a really good record, actually. All right, any more you want to cover on that? Because otherwise we'll move on to the two Newcastle games, because we've got a few games to get through, so we'll try and play our one forward. We did play Newcastle Jets twice in the space of 4 days, so to try and get through the games, as we both had a bit of a backlog right at the end here, and it was Newcastle Jets 1, Lauren Allen in the 63rd minute scoring, but Brisbane Roar 5 completely dominant through this one. Larissa Cummer gets a hat-trick, 26 minute 55th and 57th for her. Anna McGrath with a sublime finish from a tight angle. A sensational through ball in the 17th minute. And Holly Palmer with a peach, an absolute peach of a goal in the 71st. Bookings, now Tatham in the 15th, Cannon Clough in the 31st, and Ishnor in the 45th plus one. Actually, did that rack up some yellow cards for Cannon and Nat? Because they missed the next game, actually. I wonder if they hit four. Anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah. Don't matter. 1,156 people in attendance. I think it was at Newcastle Sports Ground number 2, although they'd renamed it. Who was the name of the player that passed the A-League playing games record?
Cass Davis.
Yeah, I think they named it Cass Davis Oval or something like that for the night. She passed Alex Wilkinson. No, it was Nikola Topolis-Stanley for most consecutive games in A-League, men's or women's. And
wow.
Considering the much smaller number of games, it's an incredible record that goes back about 10 years.
So it's an insane record, and it's, I think, equivalent to, if I think they brought out the stat for the, that goes back for the overall, historical in Australian football goes back to the NSL, like 200 and something games. But that was done over an equivalent period of time. So if you kind of stretch it out to number of years played with consecutive games, she basically matches that, which is insane. So, excellent achievement from Cass Davis' side.
Yeah, absolutely. But Dave, this one was a very dominant win, I think you'd say, and really not helped by the Jets. They only have 3 subs, and this was the same for both games. They only had 3 subs, so that's including the goalkeeper. So 14 players total, only 2 outfield subs. Both of them were 18-year-olds, I think.
Well, the Jets haven't had a great run of form. Like, I think they had, prior to that, they'd lost their previous 2. They had a draw against Western Sydney, which doesn't say much, really. And before that, they'd lost 3 games before that. So before our game, in the previous 6 games, they had 5 losses and a draw. And I think their last win came back just after Christmas against Wellington. In fact, their only wins of the season came against Wellington, and they've had draws kind of periodically between now and then. So they've not had a great season. And I think they've... if there's anything that came out of, I did listen to the Ladies League pod, the Massive Dub pod, which I generously gave the naming to way back when. not going to brag or nothing.
definitely haven't brought it up on the podcast before either.
Definitely not brought it up beforehand, no. They there was a one of the panelists on the show, I can't remember who it was, mentioned they had had some information that things weren't crash hot at the Jets. Now, I don't know if that was at just in the dub side or at the club as a whole, but there's apparently stuff in the background that's impacting the team being able to perform to the way they want. So when I heard that, it didn't surprise me, obviously, with the result that we've seen there. And obviously the situation they had with three subs. Brisbane just obviously coming off the back of a really big morale-boosting win against City, going to Newcastle, doing the business, and coming back home. And we'll come, touch on the one come back home as well in just a moment. But being able to do that away from home just really kind of solidified Brisbane being kind of on the upward trend. And yeah, okay, it's to get us into locking in sixth place. We couldn't do any higher than sixth, but I'd rather be the best of that shit bunch of teams than in the mix of that shit bunch of teams. You know, we've pulled away enough that we're actually locked in sixth now. We can't go higher, we can't go lower, regardless of what happens in our final makeup game, which is nice. But this kind of shows that we've got something to work with on the back end of this season.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think, yeah, those Newcastle Jets obviously still without an owner, so I dare say any funds to when they weren't really going to make finals or have an impact, I'm guessing there was no money to bring in even some, in what, you know, NPL players who might be around to, or anything like that, to just support the team. So that's, a bit of a disappointing time, situation. So
let's remember, these games have been played at fucking shit. I mean, this particular game was on a Friday night. Yeah, that should be fine in Newcastle, but you know, you bring players up on sort of Monday to play away in Brisbane. Like, fuck, that's hard work, man. Like, it's obviously you can't do so much, but these players aren't full time. They're working, you know, they're having to supplement the money they get from the dub through actual jobs. So it's not like the A League men's side where they can just go, oh, we got a game on Monday, cool. We know the prep sort of process, we'll just do that. Yeah, say, okay, cool, let's do that prep process in between my shift at fucking Woolies. You know, it's
having a kid that I'm not allowed to send to preschool anymore.
Yeah.
I think it was Fiona Wirtz was talked about because she worked at Macca's, wasn't she? Wasn't she working shifts at Macca's in around? So, you know, like it's. And that's what you often see.
There was an article which I saw pop up where back in the day, Kai Simon had scored goals at a World Cup, and then when she got back from the World Cup, she was back working the floor at Rebel Sport. You know, it's all insane. Right.
Yeah. And at least obviously that situation has improved for the top-level players and those that are going overseas and stuff are getting enough to earn. But, yeah, it's a bit to go at least here for our league in Australia. So, yeah. All right, let's...
Let's touch on this game a little bit, because, first of all, goals or... McGrath, stoke with that goal. The ball from Katrina Gorry to unlock that defence, holy fuck. Gorry was on fire in this game. She was
just
outstanding.
Every goal. She had her hand in almost every goal.
Just about
we scored.
Every goal.
Just,
yeah.
Jesus. We never take her for granted. We know how good she is, but it's still amazing to watch.
She's finished season in sensational form.
She's been good all season. She's not had the players around her to be able to... I mean, she's still Sean, right?
Yeah.
But she's not had the players around her to be able to pick up some of that load and do some of that with her. So, but look, in this game, like I said, the ball to unlock McGrath for that first goal, just chef's kiss, just beautiful. And credit to McGrath who kind of gave herself a tough angle to kind of finish on as well.
She made it almost harder than she needed to. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things. You try and beat the keeper, you have to go wide, but then obviously as you're trying to chase him down that ball, the angle's getting tighter and tighter. So credit to her for tucking it away and finishing the job. But I reckon the XG on that, the further it went away, was just getting smaller and smaller as it rolled off. Obviously, Crummer picking up a goal in that first half as well, but then two quick ones from her, sealing the hat-trick. The big one for me, though, this goal from Holly Palmer. What a belter. Like, absolute firecracker of a goal. She actually mentioned after the game as well, she had an interview with Paramount Plus about kind of her game, what she thought of the goal. She goes, yeah, her grandfather passed away the week beforehand, so that one was for him. So she came off the bench, she would have been pretty motivated to perform for him, and that's what a way to do that. Just an absolute beauty of a goal.
That's the sort of thing when you're teaching kids, this is how you shoot. You kick through the ball. You don't pass. Like, you pass differently to how you shoot, and that's the prime example of how you should shoot. You hit through the ball and it flies a lot straighter, and in that case it dipped late, and yeah, it's fantastic to watch technique wise.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just on that as well, that goal was nominated for Goal of the Week on the A-League Women's Twitter page. I used our Twitter presence as a way to kind of get people to vote for Holly Palmer, because the other one getting any sort of votes was the Sydney FC one, and she's getting the votes because it won them the premiership. Nah, fuck that. It's Holly Palmer. She gets the win. Fuck the Sydney FC one.
Even if she doesn't get the most votes, Holly Palmer gets the win.
That's it. And I like it. I mean, the unacceptable time to vote for a Palmer in the next couple of months.
Exactly right.
Oh, why would you? Stop it.
Freedom! No.
Holly Palmer was given the freedom forever freedom, off the pitch.
Freedom.
And so you
belt that in for just...
It's a shame she wasn't playing for Wellington. She could have worn yellow and black and it would have fit perfectly. Anyway,
no, they wear their away tee. They wear their away strip even when playing away games against teams that have similar colours to their away strip, like they did against Perth Glory. It was completely bizarre. That was awful. It's like, anyway, that's a small thing. All right, yeah. So that was a 5-1. That one was 5-1. Disappointing, I think, to at least to concede a goal in that one towards the end. But the game was well and truly won by then. So and it was a good finish from memory as well for their goal, and not much that Izzy Shuttleworth could do in goals. And then it rolled on. This game was meant to be a Perry, Stadio de Perry, on Monday evening, but was moved out to Pine Hills at James Drysdale Reserve. And this is a field you've even graced with your presence, Dave. So, I mean, that's how good a facility we know it is out there at Pine Hills. So it was Brisbane Roar 4, Shea Connors in the 29th and the 38th minute, Katrina Gori kicking it off in the 4th minute with a nice sort of early goal there, and from distance, as she likes to do. And there was a crumb in the 13th minute, finishing off a lovely passing move. Newcastle Jets couldn't get on the board. As we said earlier, sort of still the same situation with the Jets, only 3 subs. They literally, I think, made one change and was just swapping around with the bench. Rika Tano picked up a book in the 88th minute. Attendance was, I put down here, optimistically given as 1,000. One, it was just an open community field, so there wasn't really much going on with regarding counting of attendances, and I think that's very optimistic calling that 1,000 people there. Butsy, what did you've watched the highlights of this one. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I mean, your comment on the run sheet here makes the most sense. So we had a fantastic first half, scoring in the 4th minute. So if there was any doubt about the momentum that we picked up from Friday night would carry on, that was put away really quickly. Gori scored. It was a long shot. So I do even think to do that early in the game, you're just playing with confidence and you're just carrying on. And then we were up. I think we were up by 4 at halftime, and then the second half really just petered out. I think this game was in the early evening or the late afternoon. So
yeah, it's afternoon. Warmer 4, as well. Quarter past 4 in the afternoon, mate. So it's
a bit warmer by the time. Like, I know that the first half's when the sun is, but yeah, I can understand if they're a bit worn down, even if it's getting near 6 o'clock or something.
About that time, Harper probably needed a bottle, so, you know, it's human. Very happy off and sort out a kid.
But yeah, I was going to say, Jets keeper, despite letting in 5 goals the other night prior to this, she didn't do that poorly. She actually saved them quite a few times in that game. But here, poor, she really was down on confidence and really had trouble. She dropped a couple and parried one into the back of the net. Oh, no, yeah. She dropped the Shea Connors shot, and then
That was the 3rd goal, which you could almost they were almost calling should that be an own goal. Sort of, you know, it's come right at her, and she's just
pretty bad.
Yeah, she should have held on to that, and she just made a meal of it.
But it's a shame, because I thought on Friday night, despite the 5 goals that went in, she was okay. Like, reactions, moving, she's made some saves, but he had just bereft of confidence. So we've kind of drilled that out of her, unfortunately. I mean,
when you probably watch most of your, you know, you've watched all your defenders disappear because they go off with injuries in front of you, and you're sort of left standing there to look after things. It's it has to be a bit demoralizing, I think, in the situation they've ended up in Newcastle. So yeah, you know, that's it. Probably some of the other goals, Dave, did you
I've seen the replays. I didn't get a chance to watch any of this game, really. I watched probably about 15 minutes while I was working, because that's what I really do.
And hello to Dave's boss, who I know was a dedicated listener.
Yeah. I was absolutely working. Don't worry about that, boss. Not much more you can say. Obviously, the goals were... Yeah, like you said beforehand, just no defense. And I actually didn't get a chance to see any of the second half due to prior engagements, but I was a bit surprised to see that it was 4-0 at halftime and 4-0 at full time. I fully expected them to put a couple more on, or at least hoping that Crummer would get a couple more just to make the social media admin at the Dubs just kind of shit themselves a little bit. Oh, fuck, have we called this too early for the golden boot? But no, that's all right. It's I mean, she's only six goals away from equaling the golden boot, so, you know.
Easily knock that off the next game, yeah.
So, I mean, Canberra notoriously have a bad defence, so, you know, should be right.
I think they are the team that does have, a 3-3s about four times this season, so, yeah.
They have, but they've conceded less goals than us, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. one less, but they still conceded less. But they do have a few 3-3s against them. The worst thing about this game, though, is this is played at literally a suburban ground, which I'm having played on that particular pitch, that exact pitch myself, in the past, in the rain. I don't know how that wasn't a flooded bloody mess, that pitch. Like, for that game should not have been played there. Surely there was a better place.
But it's Pine Hills. Surely it's on a hill. It would run.
No, the hill, it's at the bottom of the hill. That's the problem.
Mate, it's called James Drysdale Reserve. It can't be wet.
It's also a reserve.
Sorry, I'll be here all night, folks.
Which is notorious for having lots of water.
Get in the sea.
That's why they don't let me play poker.
In the floodwaters, Butsy.
I would have happily taken your money off you, Butsy.
No, like I said, I don't know how that pitch was. I mean, the only thing I can think of is it wasn't wrecked because there'd been no football played on it because it hasn't had X number of weeks of football. Yeah. Go through every single week, but before we had monsoonal rains for about 3 or 4 days, so I think it's probably maybe gotten away with that there from condition wise. But how was there not a better venue than that? Like, I don't understand how there wasn't a better venue than that.
And I saw that our frenemies over at Brisbane Football Review, that they sort of mentioned maybe Lions FC was still unavailable, but I actually called BS on that because literally tonight Solomon Islands are playing Lions at Lions, That says to me the Lions was okay to play on tonight, but I think ruined that relationship.
I think the first thing you do is you go to look at the NPL clubs. Right? They're meant to have the best facilities for this all, right? So you can look at NPL clubs first and foremost. Pine Hills, I think someone said a fourth tier in Brisbane.
They will be well down. They'd be an FQBL with something.
Nowhere, they're nowhere near even. I can guarantee. I know for a fact there's an NPL club that came out of it all okay, because they're just not in a position where they would have had any sort of flood wars. That's Logan FC. I know that for a fact, just because I happen to know people that are there. You're not necessarily going to have it at Capella Park, and speak for again for that they definitely had their fields flooded. Perry Park, obviously, we know was flooded. Perry Park, a few other grounds, obviously.
City, other big, you're in a city around, Olympic City, Easts are all along the river or along creeks.
Let's not talk about Mitchelton. That's heartbreaking, actually, that whole 4G pitch.
Well, even if you get banging that Solomon Islands team, they played Brisbane Roar down at Gold Coast Knights, where this game was actually originally meant to happen. So I know this one might have originally been to be out at Redcliffe, but that's probably somewhere where it could have happened.
Potentially. I do know that there was some games. The Solomon Islands were meant to play a few games across southeast Queensland. over that weekend, which
great timing for those guys.
Fantastic timing, guys. I know you're planning for a World Cup campaign, but fuck, you picked the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's going to flood in Qatar. They're already prepared for it, mate. They're prepared for the floods in Qatar.
You'd think they would have said, let's just cancel all these games, fly up to Townsville and play some Townsville sides. It'd just be quicker and easier. Just do that. It's surely there was a better ground than that.
Offense
to Pine Hills, right? They're going back there again for the next game as well, which...
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, clearly it's a conscious decision, right? Because you'd have another few days to find somewhere else if
Yeah,
we're just obviously accommodating, I think. I think they've just found someone accommodating, and I reckon maybe Brisbane City Council might officially have all of their grounds closed, which pretty much rules out the whole of Brisbane. Like any fields and stuff might probably just officially closed.
Might be why. Oh, that's still Brisbane City Council, the area, though, isn't it?
No, I think it gets you get to the very bottom of Moreton Bay out there.
Oh, right, okay.
Which might be why.
Can I just, what was your comment about not having the best relations with Lions anymore?
I think so. I think something has happened. That relationship has soured after last year with the women's team, and there's something that's soured there, which is why we weren't back there this season at all.
Yeah, fair.
And why we weren't running back. I don't know the ins and outs.
I just
heard him passing. But
if it's women's mostly because of history, then I was just a bit, because I'm like, all I can remember is we signed their keeper and held him for like 3 months while we were waiting for their season to start. That'd be the most bizarre thing to do if we. I've had a big fallout.
I think it's
them.
Just about using their facility as an actual venue.
Yeah.
I think
Can we just have a relationship with another club and not make it go to shit? Can we just try that for once? You know?
I don't know. It's a bit tough, mate.
It seems too tough because clearly they can't fucking do it. Like,
well, we've got a great relationship with Redcliffe Dolphins Football Club.
Until they kick us out because they
don't keep paying them.
I reckon they'll kick us out once they become an NRL club. They wouldn't want
anyone. I don't know. I've heard
they.
They're G'ing up to play at Suncorp, so I'm not sure what they're
I think they are going to play at Suncorp. I think there's going to be like two games a year at Redcliffe, but that'll be their training field though. So
I imagine
professional sporting teams, they want football teams running anyway.
I don't know. Would they train there?
Where else would they train?
I don't know. Anywhere there's a piece of grass.
Yeah, I mean, there are some other fields on the other side. Depends. You know, maybe they could do them up into a better quality or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't follow rugby league, so I barely even knew that there was a Redcliffe Dolphins until we moved out there. So,
fair enough. Anything more we want to cover off on that 4-0 win there?
Look, I'm glad that they're on a hot streak on the way out. It's encouraging at the very least.
And if you want some of these players to come back next year, or next season rather, that. This is the kind of good form, good going out on a higher note to encourage them to keep playing.
It's just nice to see they're getting into form for the NPL season.
Yeah, that's it. We're sending them all back to the NPL in great form. Their NPL coaches will be thrilled.
They've done their pre-season.
Yeah.
That's it.
So we're currently in sixth place, as Dave has sort of mentioned, and we're locked in for sixth of the season now, so we can't go up, can't go down. We've played 13, won 5, drawn 1, lost 7 so far, so that was only our second... That was our first win at home, actually, all season. That one, I think the other wins have all been away from home. And so drawn 1, lost 7, 26 goals for, 27 against... that's a bloody high ratio of goals per game, isn't it? 0.16. So, we do have one more game because this was postponed from due to all the flooding and, couldn't get anyone really in or out or find a surface that you could play on anywhere in southeast Queensland on last Monday night. So Brisbane Roar v Canberra United. So this was meant to be a Perry Barker. And as we were sort of just mentioning, it's also been pushed out to the same venue out at James Drysdale Reserve where Pine Hills FC play. Same 4:15 p.m. kickoff because the lights are definitely not good enough for a broadcast night game out there. This is Thursday afternoon. So
had to deal with it that one time, they can deal with it that one time.
I'm sure they would happily play. It's just, if we actually want to watch it on a TV broadcast, we might want something slightly better.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so and they're currently in seventh place, but they're 4 points behind us. So they played 13, 1-2, drawn 6. So yeah, a lot of draws in there for Canberra United this season. Lost 5. 21 goals for 26 against 12 points on the board. They just had a nil-all draw against Victory, who are fourth. And they've, 4 games unbeaten. So they've been in a reasonable run of form at Canberra. So, I think Brisbane and Canberra, this will actually be an interesting one because it's sort of two teams that, if the season was longer, I think they'd both sort of worked their way into the season a bit and maybe could have done something. But, we don't have full home and away season in the W League. We will never know. So, get around that one as the women's season finishes off. And then finals this weekend start semi-finals. Well, there's a different format this year. It's 1v2 and 3v4, and sort of then the winner of 1v2 has a week off. But it starts on the Friday night with Sydney FC versus Melbourne City. And then it's Adelaide v Melbourne Victory on the Sunday afternoon. So a couple of good games there to look forward to in the dub finals. So, get around that. All right, let's move on to a bit of A-League men's football. And this, we go downhill from here, let's be honest.
Downhill. Do we have to? Yeah. Can we just, we're recording this on International Women's Day, so I think it's only appropriate we just leave it with the women's team.
Yeah, but almost. It would probably be better if we did, let's be honest. But, you know, we've got to counteract their positivity, you know, we've just got to bring it down a level. So we literally won't even bother really talking about Perth Glory. It happened so long ago, but we did lose 2-0 in Launceston to Perth Glory. Flop and Rolly scored both of them. It was so interesting we decided not to do a podcast. There may have been some
other
issues.
It was a terrible game.
It was a shit game. Yeah, in front of absolutely no one.
All you got to do is just take everything we say about Central Coast and copy paste into change the word Perth Glory, and then we're good.
Well, we scored in the Perth in the Central Coast game, so that's about the only.
Yeah, just ignore that part, and it's pretty much the same.
Actually, there is a big difference. There is a big difference between those two in regards to the goal scorer. So we should probably touch on that. At least in the Perth Glory game, what happened there?
So you want to run with that, or should I just summarize Dave's thoughts?
I'd love to hear your summary
I'm going to paraphrase sort of Dave, because he's not been a Lascano fan. I was probably giving him more of a chance. So you can imagine Dave's delight when Lascano was unceremoniously pulled.
Wait till you see my top scorer in the preseason predictions.
Oh, top scorer. Well, no wonder you've got so much vitriol for
Brisbane,
this guy.
For Brisbane, yeah. Not for the league. I'm not
mate, dumb. Dad, I heard Dave has his house on him winning the golden boot for the league. So
got a Juan tattoo on his butt.
yeah, for that one goal he scored.
Wow. So we were actually...
He's got two goals, mate.
He got pulled. Did he get pulled at halftime or just after?
No, for 40 minutes.
Oh, that's right. Before 40 half-time. Minutes. And there was no reason for it. He wasn't injured. Moon just
there was
had
a
gut for
it.
Yeah, well. No, no reason. So, the big call that came out of that was Dave. And maybe you agreed, Price. He just, is that it? Is that him done? Like, we've tried and he didn't do what we wanted. We've got Wada coming in. Who knows if he's a out and out striker, but Ivanovic is on the way back.
I'm players that never play.
But we've probably pulled Juan Lascano and that's it now. He's a bit player. And when we get fit players, he'll be gone. We'll ship him back to.
Yeah, that's it. We just need fit players.
I don't even know where he would go. Would he go back to Russia? But yeah, like I realized that as I was putting it together in my head.
Maybe Argentina, mate. NPL probably. I think
Russian NPL. Are you saying?
Yeah, the Russian NPL. In the border regions.
No comments. Let's move on.
There was a clear reason he got pulled, and that's for the absolute bollocking he gave Nick Olsen.
Kuwait facts.
Anyway, that's the cue for Q80 facts. Welcome to this week's edition. We haven't done this for a little while, but I have an amazing Q80 fact in regards to Q8 sport. Of course, we name a Q80 fact every time we mention Nick Olsen's name because of his historical, long-standing two-season time in the Q80 league. So we welcome the new Q80 facts as a result. Now, Q8. Does have an ice hockey association. It'd be hard to believe given the heat there, but they have an ice hockey association and they joined the International Ice Hockey Federation in 1985, but were expelled in 1992 due to a lack of ice hockey activity. So, classic Q80 ice hockey. Just get themselves put together and never actually do anything.
Peak Q80 ice hockey, mate.
Q8 was readmitted into the IIHF in May 2009. And they actually won the Challenge Cup of Asia in 2015. So good on them for getting their shit together, 17 years later and actually winning something 6 years later. So, Radio Ice Hockey Federation got their shit together, got admitted 7 years later. Didn't play enough ice hockey to continue, but that's okay. Good on them. And that is your Q80 facts for this week.
Q8 facts.
So yeah, as we were saying, the Lascano was just gave him a bollocking, and a couple minutes later got subbed off, and rightfully so. Like it was no way, the fact he was standing over his teammate shouting at him, absolutely disgraceful, and in no way acceptable. Even from a competitive side of things, it's just not okay. You wouldn't do that to an opposition player.
it's not like Lascano was playing well either. Like if you're the clear, like if it was O'Shea, like not that it's the right thing to do ever, but like O'Shea's leading the team, he's steering them around, and if he has to give someone a gobful to get him up to snuff, then okay. But Lascano's never led that line. He's been the top of the line, but he's never really led the team in a way that you would need an import to do that in that role. So he's got no right.
The thing is, as well, it's like if he was in the right, if he was, you know, if it wasn't a case of him being, you know, in a ridiculous position to receive the ball, like if it was clear and open for that ball, you might understand why I might give him a bollocking. But there was no way, like you said, he'd been playing shit up to that point. There was no way that any confidence should have been given to him to be able to do anything. And the fact he was so poorly positioned to get the ball to him, let alone receive a pass, it would have had to have been a miracle ball with players just, you know, opening their legs at the wrong time consecutively for him to get the ball to Lascano. And Lascano then having the presence of mind and speed of you know, reaction to be able to get to the ball, which would have just appeared out of nowhere. Lascano's not a quick player. He's got low fucking reaction skills from what I've seen so far. I'm not putting any sort of expectation on him putting away a ball at last second, let alone Olsen, who, fair credit to him, he played all right in the last game as well, but I'm not putting any sort of expectation on Olsen to get the ball through three sets of legs in the first place. He's not that sort of player. He's not skillful enough to be able to find it and envision a pass of that sort of nature. It's, yeah, Lascano, as much as we're about to talk about him scoring a goal in the next game, it's just, it's not okay, and I'm not happy with him, and I want him to fuck off.
Well, and it was just funny. Sorry, it was just funny because you were calling that like as that happened, and then obviously we had sort of we didn't play the Melbourne game, so we had probably a week between fixtures, maybe a week and a half, and yeah, then that's it. Now he's benched. Like I don't think there's a coming back from that.
Like, not normally. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Moon's just, he's flipped over the edge. Moon's just said, oh, look, I've got other options, and you're not so good that we can get past your attitude. If you're fed up, we'll just drift you into obscurity for the rest of the season, and that's it.
We'll kudo him off. That's it. It was only him, and he hasn't been that good, and he's disappointed for mine. So anyway, we'd spoke a lot more about that game than we thought, but obviously we need to get that moment out because there's not much else that happened. The only other thing I was going to mention from that game was that we are actually replaced Freak with Holmes in goal. But
bit of an odd one because I don't think Freak had actually done anything poor to necessitate that. But at the same time, you're bottom of the league, you probably want to try something just to get something different happening. But
that's a fantastic segue into the next game because my God, did we try something with the changes?
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, obviously we had a couple of games against Melbourne Victory that weren't meant to happen. Didn't, obviously the first one up here was called off because it was so bloody wet that they caught off pretty early, that one, and in the end
I was expecting the weather to be and by the way, called it off before they came up.
Yeah, which got right. some victory fans who were already up here. Oh, it's not that weird up here yet. Well, it turned out to be a really fucking good call because by the Friday it was belting down, and then obviously as we saw it, it didn't relent. And then it was so relentless on the Sunday we couldn't even fly out to go and fly down against a somewhat hastily announced, but apparently was already in the works game away at Melbourne Victory on the Monday night it was meant to be. But
if you want to go by the Melbourne Victory Twitter at the very least, I know they changed this on Facebook, but at least the Twitter wording said that we only couldn't play or couldn't come down due to the inclement weather. I think that was a bit of an understatement and not at all in keeping with what was fucking happening at the time. So, you know, Melbourne Victory admin can do one. Fucking go drink your chocolate milk down your fucking shirt with your FFA cup, your cockhead. Inclement weather, my fucking ass.
Exactly. Yeah, and that just got sort of other Victory fans all right up. Oh, it's just a bit of rain. No, it fucking wasn't, idiot.
They could have travelled down the day before. Ooh. Fuck off.
Yeah, it was just as bad thing.
People have waited. Yeah, it's not just that it's belting down. It was bad weather to travel in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, people's families and their properties and their houses and stuff like that. You know, people trying to protect their house, make sure they're going to be safe. You don't want to be leaving, especially if you've got, you know, wife and kids or family and kids or whatever. You don't want to be leaving them just so you can go play a game of football down in Melbourne because some dickhead on fucking social media thinks, we could have fucking travelled yesterday. Fuck off.
But as I understand this, maybe I can't remember where I picked this up from. Might have been one of the comments that David Bure was mentioning. This wasn't just like it's not safe for a plane to get out of Brisbane and down to Melbourne. It was literally like we can't get players to the airport from their homes. Like that's how bad it was. Like
That's it. The roads were flooded to actually even get players to the airport to even fly. Technically, I think the airport was actually open for most of the time, but just actually physically getting to the airport was, you know, unless you pretty much lived right on the gateway motorway, you were pretty much up shit creek without a paddle. Well,
it just couldn't happen. So we just couldn't put a squad down there.
Yeah, up Brisbane River without a paddle.
Yeah, Brisbane River, which as we know is full of shit.
It's a shit creek.
It is a shit creek. So yes, that does lead to
the old brown snake. Just completely off topic. Speaking of brand snake, though, I was walking past at my local shops, and there was an ad outside the bottle for a new beer called the Brown Snake, based on its being brewed on the Brisbane River. I'm thinking that brewery is probably not doing crash hot right now. I've never seen this ad before, and I'm thinking maybe I should buy some just to make them, you know, just to support local business, because they'd be fucking shattered at the moment.
That's it. Yeah, there'd be a few of them would be like, I'm just trying to... Yeah, there's a couple of them on the roof. Well, Range definitely had water through, yeah.
Yeah, well, Newstead would have as well.
Yeah, Newstead would have probably at both venues. Newstead and Milton would have had some water through. Anyway.
Forest probably had some water through it too.
It would have, but...
Bogans would be crying.
I'm sure they'll be right. I'm sure they'll survive. Anyway, Central Coast Mariners 2... and Nkulu in the 49th minute, and Nicola Mua in the 55th. And then Brisbane Roar 1, Juan Lascano scoring in the 69th minute. Should he return to the start? No. The bookings for the cum dog, Jason Cummings in the 34th minute, and Golo himself in the 76th. Corey Brown in the 80th, and Mula Naric in the 86th minute. 3,275 people in attendance. Butsy, you've been around this football club long enough. You know that we don't lose in Gosford. Was this a disaster?
I've definitely never seen us lose in Gosford.
No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have. It's been like 10 years or something like that, I think it was.
Yeah,
I think
it's 2013.
2013, there you go. Yeah, 2013. And it was only our second. And Dave knows that lost well because he was there. Why I can pull it up.
But something I checked the other day was, obviously we've had three losses against Central Coast in Gosford. First two happened in the same season. That was the only other two times, and that was in that one season. And one of those games was when Massimo Madocca scored and we broke the fence. So that's always fun. But that was 9 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that was when they were pretty good that year. That was sort of our down year between our premierships, and I think they went and won the league, didn't they? That year. So
probably. I didn't pay attention to that year. In Rado we trust, right? In Rado
we trust. Oh dear.
Friends Tyson never make subs for the win. You know, that's the sort of stuff it was.
Tyson was after that. He was 2015.
Who cares? All right. In Rado we trust. Whatever. That's all I remember.
In Rado we trusted for about 6 weeks. What do you want to talk about this one, Butsy?
I wanna do two things, but I want to talk about the game first. First of all, nothing new about the actual performance. I think if you've been listening to this pod, we've probably described it several times over, and you just put the word Central Coast in there, and it still applies. We're a bit drab. We don't have a lot of ideas. You don't have a plan going forward. I think if you look at the league table, we're actually not the worst for conceding, but we are by miles terrible at scoring. We don't even have one goal for every game out of the 13 we've played. So that's pretty bad. And we've got no kind of impact off the bench. We've got no alternate strategy and formation or tactics. We just trot out our fullbacks or our five backs, but they both functionally work the same, because the only strategy we have is to push the wingbacks up and cross mostly to people who aren't there. It's all the same sort of fanfare. So it's a really disappointing game. And Central Coast probably created more chances. We had a bit of a late run at them, but we were already down by two goals. And, you know, it's hard to say we deserved it, because we're just so lost on the field. We're just there. We just sort of show up, and we're very pedestrian in everything we do.
Yeah, that's it. It's the same story week in, week out, especially at away games. We're not too bad at home in reality, but yeah, away games, mm-hmm. It's the same crap every week. And you know, I don't think we're going to win an away game all season if we honestly can't beat this Central Coast Mariners team, who are not that good away at Gosford, at a place where we haven't lost since 2013. We've only lost twice to in the whole history of the A-League. It's not good. Dave, what did you want to pull out about this game? And then we'll get back to your point.
Not a lot, to be honest. I mean, we hit the post a couple of times. Vanovic hit the post in the first half. Olsen hit the post in the second half. Dan quite eloquently showed, the Olsen post hit
the thumb for the
was after he had about 5 or 6 yard march on the defence, and you know, when he's about 18 yards out and still couldn't get it on target. Beat the keeper, at least. I give him credit for that.
I think the keeper got a hand to it, so I'm not even going to give him that.
Well, that means it was on target then, all right? That means
it was on target. Good job.
I was watching this game, but I wasn't invested in this game because while we should have been... We should be able to beat Central Coast. I don't know how we don't beat Central Coast just every time. It should just be a given. Brisbane goes to Central Coast, wins, goes home. That should be all it is. We fucked it up, and we fucked it up badly, and we deserve to be bottom of the league because we're a fucking shit side. And the questions have to be asked now, but we're at that point, I think. We ask, what happens with Warren Moon? Is he, are we at the point now where we say we need a change? 3 wins out of 13 games... and eight losses in 13 games, more specifically here, is not good enough.
You can get rid of Mooney.
But I don't think they will.
Here's the reality. We've got to get through, 10, 12, maybe 13 more matches in 2 months, pretty much. This has got to be wrapped in May. So, the time it would take to get rid of him and hire someone else, you gain nothing. So you might as well run him out to the end of the season and... So hopefully he hasn't got a contract extension from when he started, and you say, sorry, mate, you can't stay on. We need a whole change in philosophy because you just ain't...
It might not be Moon's fault,
but we need a reset. It's the only thing we can do.
I don't think we're going to turn around and make finals if we sacked him. So, I don't know. It might become untenable towards the end maybe, but for the moment, you're just going to stick with him.
But he can't be here next season, right? Because... even if you gave him some money, you just can't. It won't magically fix. The squad is kind of what it is, and even if you could bring in a couple of imports and spend a little, it's not going to magically change. There's so little on offer there at the moment. We need someone to come in and just blitz it and send all the guys that haven't stepped up from NPL level back to NPL and start over and say, look, you need to give the new guy a year's grace because he's rebuilding, and then hopefully there's a bit of money on the table where we can start actually growing this club. But I don't think Moon can do it. I know he's been dealt a bad hand. I'm trying not to, get too into is it Moon's fault or not? But you just can't keep him.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think he'll go purely because the club won't want to pay him out. They'll see it as, we can't get relegated. Okay, it's going to be a shit season. Let's face it. The club basically folded the whole fucking season at the start when they went, we're just going to go with playing, Queensland players. It's like instead of looking for actual players that will improve the squad or make us competitive, they went on a fucking cost-cutting process and, glossed it over, gave it a bit of a paint job to say, well, these players are all linked to Queensland. That's nice. Nick Olsen ain't fucking linked to Queensland.
That was more for the W League team, to be fair, than the men's team.
True. But they tried to kind of pass that off a little bit. And they've clearly gone NPL. They've clearly gone cost-cutting measures with the whole squad. And, Moon knows the good players in the NPL, but surely after the time he's had, he was in there since mid-July 2020, he should surely know which players are capable of playing at this fucking level now. And
unless Moon, who... has basically never had a proper professional season at this level, unless Moon doesn't know what's needed to play at this level.
Well, he does, though. He's played at this level.
Well, but he's played at it when you're coaching, and it's also a different since then as well.
But there's a big difference in the A-League in 2005 and 2020.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But I mean, at the same time, he's not exactly left the country, gone to play somewhere else, and kind of has no concept of how it's progressed either. He's seen the level of player that's done well in this competition. And he'd be able to measure that just with his own insight in terms of the game. Because he's a smart man. He knows his football, right? He'd be able to assess whether or not a player is up to the same level as, okay, my centre midfielder, is he at the level of Ninkovic? No. Is he far off that level? No. Okay, great. He's probably going to be a good enough job. Do I need to find a player that's going to be of that level? You know, he'd be able to assess that with his players. And he's not going to pick out, you know, 22 Ninkovic level sort of players. No one's expecting that for the A-League. But we also don't want to have 22 Nick Olsons or 22 Juan Lescanos. You know, it's 22 Mensah Khatijis.
He's not potentially doing as much as he could do, you would think, maybe with what the... Yes, he doesn't have a great, amazing squad, but it doesn't seem like he's doing great things with it either, so...
The squad's terrible.
Let's face it. Here's the thing that's got... like something Moon can control. This is a stat I rolled out, and I can't find a screen grab of it, but during the coverage, they posted the passing accuracy of both teams, and Central Coast had something like twice the number of passes of us, and this is probably just after half time. And they were passing throughout the game at 84% or something like that accuracy. And we were into the 60s. It might have been 67% pass accuracy. So we're not able to string three passes together. That's what that level of incompetency is. And that comes down to, like, you can train that. You can create a structure that makes that low risk. You can make sure that you don't put too much stress on your weaker passing players. I mean, we're in a data bloody supported football world now. You can see that stuff. So that's not good enough, regardless of the skill of players. That's the sort of thing you can fix if you build the right structure and build the right squad.
So he's played 40, he's managed 45 games and only won 15, so he only wins 1-3 and lost 19, so he does not have a great record. And it just doesn't, and it just never seems like we've now gone back to the back five. After I think we've been mostly back four this season.
Yeah, but I think back five was...
Yeah, we just haven't had the cattle back there to actually do back five.
I think he wants back five. I think that's always been the case because he's always had that always had extra backs. Do we loan one? No, was that Milnarik's on loan?
Yeah, Milnarik.
Trying Connor Chapman, and like he's always trying. Even though Aldred's coming back and Truant's playing well, I know he's injured now, but like he's always had one eye on. We're gonna play five at the back.
He seems to have, yeah. I mean, Chapman was apparently had his eye on him since the start of the season, but try to get him in for the start of the season, I should say. But
that makes sense, right? Because that tells me why we loaned Milnarik, because we weren't sure if
he's still here. Milnarik is still here. They've just kept him on. So it's not because it's only meant to be a short-term loan. It's not like he's gone back. He got booked in the last game, for fuck's sake.
It's actually not too bad, though.
He ain't gone back.
No, he's been all right. He hasn't been. He definitely is our worst of our regular centre-backs, though.
I know. Milinaric is... I've got no dramas for Milinaric. He's reasonable sort of level, whatever. He'll do a job. But he's certainly not the worst of our problems. But, no.
In reality, defence isn't the, you know, we don't tend to concede too many. It's just scoring goals. We just can't score them.
The problem is when you have such little pressure when you attack because you just can't sustain attacking possession and you can't create chances and you can't put the fear of God in your opponents for any substantial period of the game, then undoubtedly teams will score against you. Yeah, attack is the best form of defence, that kind of logic. We have none or not sustained attack, so teams will run at us and they will score. And yeah, we're not even averaging two goals against per game, but one or two goals against us every game is enough because we have no attack. We don't have the attacking presence.
We're not causing a threat down the other end. It's
correct.
Pointless. It's pointless.
Yeah. I think we do have a few, at least we probably have a few more home games coming up because we have played a lot more away games than home games, and we are a little bit better at home. So, that could be a positive to at least look forward to. But anyway, we're getting off the topic.
Well, I just Central Coast with four wins away from. Three wins away from top five, top six, sorry. So, yeah, even with a bit of a run, we're going to struggle to even get into, like, seventh or eighth challenge. We're going to be right down the bottom, no matter what.
Yeah, look, I don't think we're making finals this season. But
No.
We don't deserve to.
I'd be elated if we didn't have to play a playoff game for the FFA Cup.
That's probably a good. That'd be a good spot to aim for.
Eighth is our goal right now.
Eighth is our goal. Warren keeps his job if he gets us to eighth.
If he gets us to eighth, he keeps his job. That's 4 points away. That's more achievable.
Oh, God. As long as we don't play any of the teams just ahead of
us. Yeah. Western Sydney's ahead of us. It's achievable.
there's some not very good teams in this league, so yeah, it's definitely possible. But then again, we've just lost the last, literally the last two home games. We just lost to both of them. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
The second goal.
We got next.
second goal was just one. Like, that second goal. Would you actually call that an own goal? Like, realistically, it's pretty much all O'Shea's fault that goes in the net, right?
Well, it was on target, but yeah, probably.
Yeah. By the definitions of an own goal, yes, it's not an own goal, but realistically, it probably is, right? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Let's move on. Yes, so next up, we do actually play Wellingong. So there were Wellington Phoenix still playing out of Wollongong and wherever else they can get a game. So I think they've been struggling to find a training venue, actually, the poor buggers. So they train indoors on a futsal court during the week. So, yeah, they're actually coming up here to play on Saturday afternoon, 4 p.m. kickoff. By the way, every game in March is Saturday 4 p.m. kickoff for the men's team at this stage, unless there's a midweek in there. But, yeah, all the weekend games, Saturday 4 p.m. Doesn't matter if it's home or
away.
I remember when I was putting the fixtures in my phone at the start of the season. So, so out there at Morton Daily Stadium, your local newspaper, 4:05 p.m. kickoff. So they're currently in 7th spot, Wellington. Oh, hang on. Yeah, they're in 7th spot. What are we in? Oh, we're in last. Sorry. Yeah.
What are we? I just thought about it. Sure, yeah.
I know. We're in last spot because Perth Glory won a game. So, 13.
Against play us.
13.
Yeah. we've literally pushed Perth and Central Coast above us. That's in our last two games.
Yeah,
team players.
We're all about. We're really good emotional support animals for other teams.
We're looking out for Montgomery and Garcia. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep him in the job. So what was I going to say? Yeah. Anyway, we're in 13th. We're in 12th. We played 13, won 3, drawn 2, lost 8, 12 goals for, 20 against, 11 points on the board. Wellington, they're in 7th spots. They've played 12, they've won 5, drawn 3, lost 4, 15 goals for, 18 against, 18 points on the board.
Too far for us to catch.
So they play tomorrow night in Gosford as we record this. We're recording this on Tuesday night, so maybe when this episode actually gets out into your ears, because they're playing Newey there at Gosford. But otherwise, I haven't actually played since the 19th of February, so about almost a three-week gap in between games, which was a 1-1 v Sydney FC. And I think their game before that was actually when we played them. So, yeah, they've had quite a bit of a drought of games, but they haven't actually lost since the 1st of January.
Yeah, they're in form. They're in form. They started. They had trouble at the start, but they've come good.
Yeah, they've come good. However, subsequently, that was the last time they've left New South Wales. So, maybe just because obviously they're playing all their home games, and you know, there's how many away games for them now? There's what, 4 other teams to play? Five in New South Wales. It's a lot of games you can just have where you don't really need to leave the state. So, maybe they don't like getting on airplanes
anymore. That's why they located themselves there, right? That's why they did it.
Yeah. That's how they save money. It costs them a hell of a lot of money to live over here, so that's how they save the money. Yeah,
absolutely.
It all makes sense. We'll see how that one goes. So,
I have a quick prediction for this game. Mm-hmm. Brisbane to win 5-0 with Lascano scoring all 5 since he's back in form.
Off the bench.
Yeah.
This is a little bit off topic, but obviously, somewhat. Wellington obviously based themselves out of Wollongong. Got to have a quick shout out to calling a friend of the pod, Dave from the Jets, who often does the Jets podcast. just a bit of background: when I was down in, as we all well and truly have mentioned 100 times in this pod, last year when I was down in Newcastle and they had flooding rains down there, obviously I was due to catch up with Dave at the particular time for a beer, but that wasn't possible due to him trying to stop his house from being waterlogged. During our recent floods, he was actually in Toowoomba, suffering the same sort of fate. So, poor bastard was living my experience last time out when I was down his way. he sent me a message today, though, saying that after he escaped the Southeast Queensland floods on Wednesday, he got himself down to Wollongong. He got himself down to Wollongong, and now he's potentially stuck there due to landslides. So the poor bastard is following the natural disasters. Which so shout out to Dave. You probably won't hear this. I don't think he listens to this pod, but shout out to him all the same. And I hope he gets home safe, because that's a fucking terrible run of form.
It's a long way. If the road sort of gets that main road out of Wollongong up into Sydney gets cut off, it's a long way around as well to get.
That's what his concern is. Yeah. He sent me a photo of him being outside. You know, must have been in a hotel just right outside Wind Stadium. And he goes, hey, well, guess where I am? No, I might be stuck here. Shout out to Dave from Newcastle. I hope you get home safe, mate. That's
exactly.
Yeah, take care, dude.
Yeah. Yes, and probably, I guess we might mention now, while we're just sort of talking about the game, but this is a bit of a flood relief fundraiser that they're doing during this game. So I think they've offered out a few free tickets to clubs who were worst affected by the flooding, and also given them like signed jerseys to raffle off and things like that. So there's a few things going on. There's donations at the ground for gold coin. And indeed, the club even got some of the youth players out and about helping. It actually seems to be a thing sort of the youth team does, like all the youth ranks, because I've noticed, I think that's who we've turned out tickets again, is at a gate into where all our youth team players from the lower league. It's all like, yeah, for all our like under 13, 14, 15, yeah, you stand at the gate and scan the tickets.
Is this us becoming a community club, or are we just so cheap we can't afford ticket scanners now?
Why not both, Dave?
It reminds me of this really weird story, and this is segue again, sorry, but I think it was... Jose Mourinho, when he was managing Man United, he actually sacked all the ball kids and made the youth players be the ball kids.
Yeah, because they'd understand the game flow or something.
Yeah, they would like, yeah, they'll be quicker to respond and they'll know. It was like,
and they're like, yeah, understand if they want it quick or slow or, yeah.
So, I mean, we're emanating the special one, so what can we do?
Was that at Chelsea, did you say?
At United.
Yeah. Oh, United, right, yeah. Because I know when he was at Chelsea, he sacked the doctors.
Well... not really sacked, more got quit and sued him, but you know.
Oh, similar situation, not quite, yeah, exactly, very similar, similar,
very,
yeah,
similar, very similar situation. So there's a lot of things going on there around sort of some of this flood appeal, and the club's really trying to be on the front foot and help clubs out with it, so, and that's great to see. That's what you want, yeah, a sporting club, yeah, to do in this set of times and needs. So yeah, really well done there. So yeah, get around it, and if you can't get to the game all weekend, maybe look at buying some raffle tickets or something online, or there's another fundraising thing you can do. And look, there's heaps of clubs who put up like GoFundMe's, some of them obviously have been annihilated, and we've mentioned some of them earlier, so have a look all around that sort of things, and and where you can, please support.
If you're looking for something cool, the black shirts with the orange tins, like the travel shirts, they're super flick.
Excellent.
Something I just bought it online from official merch,
from that raw one.
Yeah, raw one.
Is that for the fundraising for the flooding? Is it?
No. I just mean if you're not sure what to buy, like just throw anything at the club. You know, like it all helps. I'll put some for the fundraising.
I was gonna say the other thing. I got a suggestion for. This is one of the other clubs that I've seen actually post this on social media. Is obviously the season's only just starting, so but a lot of clubs obviously be needing that financial help. So if you're, you know, got your local football, your own football teams, your kids' football teams, whatever the case may be, just make sure if you're going to an away game, just buy something from the club canteen. You know, make sure you get a drink from there or get some food or something like that. It all obviously goes to help. But if you do that at every ground and every person that's at every ground buys a thing, it's all going to help to kind of improve.
Yeah.
The finances of each club to hopefully solve that. So yeah, obviously donate what you can when you can do that, but that's a good way to be able to do that as well, and that's a season long sort of thing you can do to help a club.
Help them rebuild, yeah. Just go and visit the canteen and buy stuff. That'll be some of their best profit margins for sure, and it's the lifeblood of many clubs, the canteen.
Or just go into the club and see if they've got water bottles. Yeah, you can collect the whole set of your whole division. Yeah, to see if you get a water bottle from each club that you go to.
Yeah, and then what you do is you put them up on a shelf and you move them around as a standings move.
There you go. I mean, that's no good if you play away the last game, because you wouldn't have a water bottle there for the entire season.
What you do is you buy an octopus and you make him pick the water bottle that's going to win, like the World Cup that time.
Problem solved. Right.
Problem solved. Yeah.
I'm gonna have my my dogs pick out the winner of each game for my season to come, just to see what if they can predict it. They won't have any clue. They're just like, yeah. You got food under that thing. I want food. But let's give it a go.
Stop, and stop putting the good peanut butter on your team, Dave, just to make you feel good. <It's not> gonna... Yeah,
so actually, loyal.
I think I've actually stolen that idea. I reckon there's a guy in the UK who has a mug of every team in the 92 of the Football League, and he moves the mugs around depending
that
on
would
the
be cool.
on the 92. There,
anyway. That'd be a big show. Yeah. A lot of work.
Anyway, so yes, that's
first game of the season. You'd just be mugs all over the place.
Yeah, well, exciting when a new team comes up. You've got a new mug to buy, mate. You know, someone comes up from the Football League you haven't had before, yeah.
You throw out the old mug for the team that got relegated.
Southend United, you just smash on the floor and throw it away, you know. But who's going down? Scunthorpe are going down. They'll go down.
Old man's Greek, is he? Is
When you're gone, you're dead to him. Yeah, well, there's just a cupboard. There'd be a cupboard of, like, or a box of, like, just clubs that have smashed. Dropped out of the Football League that, you know, he doesn't use anymore. Anyway, moving on. This is why this stupid episode goes for so long, because we talk too much rubbish.
You can cut like the last 10 minutes out if you really want. No, there were some good messages in there. Don't do that.
No, it was a good
message. Don't do that. Anyway, it's not worth it.
Club Championship ladder, Brisbane, we're up to 6, baby. Yeah.
Get in.
Thank you, Dub. So they're 20. So we're up to 27 points overall. And thank you to Dave for going through and working this out as well, because of course it hasn't been updated on the Keeper website for like a week.
This is just me doing some quick maths.
Yeah, Newcastle and Wellington are very close in between 7th and 8th spot on 25 points. Newcastle got minus 19, Wellington minus 26 goal difference, and 9th spot is Western Sydney Wanderers on 22. That'll be a tight run home, I think, over the final series to see if we can hold on to that magical 5 points that the Dub team has given us advantage over the Western Sydney Wanderers. Bit of news.
Yeah, I don't like your chances with that.
Yeah, no, me either. Not the,
can we talk injuries for a minute? That's your first item on the news. As well. Yeah. I wanted to talk about it in the last game, but I saw that you had it down here. So we got a lot of players out just reading. So you got Aldred back. Ivanovic is just coming back. A bunch of other players sort of coming back. You got Truan out, Hingard out. I think Milosevic is out. Chapman. Wada, did someone say he had COVID fit. Or something like that? Or
like, I have no idea where Wada is.
What happened to someone like Jez Lofthouse? Is he vanished? Or take only 6 players to play in our last game, and we need attacking players?
Maybe he couldn't afford the fee to get down. Right. Anyway, don't travel.
Anyway, right, so a lot of injuries, right? And here's my thing to you guys: like, where does your sympathy end? In terms of, it's just bad luck. And where is it we're not doing this right because we're getting players injured? Especially when the email comes out and says we've got 4 players with lower body injuries. Like, I get it. Maybe they're 4 different injuries, but they're most likely just like 4 strains or something. So where do you guys land on what's, it's unlucky versus... We are not quite treating these people right.
I've got an insight into this. JS Sage has been pissed off at trains, been kicking them all in the bollocks, but he didn't want to say they got injured balls. So,
oh, Jesus.
No.
And while they were down, Juan yelled at them.
Sadly, Parson was apparently on the bench according to Paramount. Maybe he just got kicked in pre season to warm up. It's like, nope, fuck you, get off.
He didn't want to sit on the bench next to Juan. He was like, this guy, Nick's prepped me on the flight up here.
No, you make a good point about signing players that are not fit to play. I mean, we see it to some description with Sturridge. Right, he's come across to Australia. Okay, he wasn't fit to really play. They had a really fucking weird way to start their season. Obviously, with, you know, COVID, borders shut, borders open, borders fucking closed while they're midway COVID, while they're in transit, all sorts of shit like that. Sturridge has been, I suppose, a bastion of how things can just fucking fall apart. Mm. And I don't think that's Perth's fault in that particular case. The situation, though, where we've got signed players like Wada, and Chapman. Look, Chapman's a bit of a different one because I think they obviously had him on the radar at the start. I doubt he was ready to play when he came here because he wouldn't have played for so long. So he's effectively in pre-season, midway through a year.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of give some sort of allowance for that. Wada obviously coming out of not playing for ages as well. Why are we signing him?
Mm.
I don't understand why we've signed him. I don't. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's if he's not coming across here ready to play as a lone player,
yeah,
it's a waste of fucking time.
Waste of time,
a player
money,
from
effort.
Somewhere where that's in season. Loan a player from fucking Europe. Loan a player from the K League who's had a preseason. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Why have we fucking signed him? He's not ready to play. Loan is not meant to be there for fucking, you know. We'll get him ready to play and we'll send him back to Japan. He's here for a fucking reason. Danzaki didn't come here and get warmed up into the season. He came here and fucking said, bam, score some goals.
Yep.
He came out here early enough to be involved in our preseason as well, which is a big difference. But I agree with you. Like, if you're going to sign loan players halfway through a season, they need to be ready to go. Not then need a month's bloody getting ready to go. Like, what's the point? Like, by the time we get these players back, the season's going to be done. And what's the point of playing them? Like, pointless.
And I think
you're
right.
There's a certain, there is a certain point when a club hits when you have to ask if they're doing something wrong with their physical conditioning.
I think so. When
you get to a lot of the similar injuries, and it just seems like, it just sounds like, and we've had a lot of little niggles this year and sort of players in and out of lots of little niggles and injuries, and I don't know. Yeah, it's hard
something
to know.
Something going wrong there, man.
Like, that's something you can control, right? That's all I'm getting at. I'm trying to discern between what can Moon and the club control versus what they can't. They've got this squad. Maybe they can't control. These are the players they could afford and that were available. Maybe they can't control that. But injuries, like, surely that's a management issue. We can keep them fit. We can do our best not to be playing players that are fit because we know we've got a growing injury issue. You know, we got players like Hingett that he's out injured again after a long time on the sidelines previously. And I just wonder if we're just not going through this cycle of getting players injured. Like one or two is just unlucky, but by the time you've got like eight or nine players at any given time that are either injured or coming back from injury and not a high injury risk, then...
I mean, reality is we've taken basically 14 months to get our Aldred fit. It was pretty much about January last year where he started to become crocked and, you know, we'd sort of try and rush him back and he'd get injured again and we'd rush him back and he got injured again. He basically cost us the final last year because he couldn't keep up with whoever it was playing up front for Adelaide that day, Juric. You know, we bring him back in pre-season, you know, he has 3-4 months off and we bring him back in pre-season, he injures himself again. And so, maybe we just don't have that. Obviously, we had... I don't know who was like strength and conditioning or sort of that sort of high performance manager of it. And maybe we don't have a lot of people in that part of the club anymore. I don't know. Maybe I just don't really know who they are. Sorry, I forgot. It's our favorite person, Ben's favorite person, Craig Duncan, that gets involved. So we've like sort of subcontracted it out to his company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So maybe they don't have necessarily a lot of, people on the ground or something. I don't know.
And, like, I guess the other thing is, like, I think in terms of squad makeup, so I'm no expert, but sports, footballers' physiology over their careers, you know, when you're young and you haven't played a lot of professional football, it takes time for your body to be ready. There's an article from Adelaide, for example, with Mo Touré. He's only 17. He scored 2 goals off the bench in the last 2 games. And they're saying, but you can't just take a guy like that and start playing him because he's not physically ready. It'll take time for his body to get used to playing 90 minutes of professional football over and over and over again. And you're like, okay, I can understand that. And then I look at Brisbane Roar and they're like, we got all these guys and they're all sort of 18 to 24. Not a lot of them have played a lot of professional football. Even someone like Ivanovic hasn't had a long professional career. He's been around. And then we're just like, well, that's the players we have. Throw them all out. And it's like when Aloisi that year that he left, we used to call ourselves Dad's Army because we had too many old players and we knew injuries would be a problem and injuries were a huge problem and we had a terrible season and Aloisi eventually left, probably on the back of pressure of poor performance because of all that. And this is the opposite problem. We don't have the right blend of players throughout the club to make sure that we have players that have the bodies to be able to sustain the number of minutes that we need them to play. So I feel like squad building is so underappreciated at a professional football level, at least in Australia. And that's something that, irrespective of financial constraints, he could have gone and got some older NPL players if he was worried about having too many young players that weren't cut out for professional football. And he didn't. So again, I'm trying to discern between what can Moon control versus what's out of his control. And I think this is something he could have managed better.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. And also, sort of, you know, if not, also football director, you know, it's an area where the football director should be across and setting the direction there. So that's Shane Stefanuto. So,
yes,
you know, that's something, those sort of things. So, yeah, it's interesting. There's a whole bunch of names listed on our website for a football department and, you know, against the men and the women's teams. So it's interesting now.
Yeah, you can't, it's the old adage of you can't say that we were beaten by five unlucky goals. You know, you can't just say we had 12 unlucky injuries. Yeah, at some point, that's a problem, not an unlucky.
Exactly. Let's move on. The Admiral Bari, he's off to play for Afghanistan. So if you don't know, he has some... I don't know if he's a refugee, or maybe it's just his family's a refugee and he was born here. But he does have his family heritage is Afghanistani. So
He's born in Afghanistan.
He was born in Afghanistan, yeah. I thought so. So he's been called up to the national team. So he's going to be off. And he might miss three games being off with that national team just by the time he travels. And obviously the league is trying to squeeze in as many games as possible. So, and originally we went to have international breaks off, but because of all the game cancellations, we now have to play them. So, we're playing games for that time.
I will admit, just on a side note, I was stunned that we actually got retweeted by Vince Regari on that tweet that we sent out for that one. That shocked me. But never mind. That's all right.
I'm surprised he hadn't blocked us. I'm surprised Ben hadn't got us blocked by him, to be honest.
Me too. That was why I was surprised. I'm like, Vince knows who we are. Well, at least he sees our tweets. That's nice.
That is nice. That one, and probably the other one, they just announced recently. There's going to be a 4-day youth football tournament open to teams from around Australia, be held by organised by Brisbane Roar on the Gold Coast. So you can teams from under 8 to under 14s can submit expressions of interest to play, and A League men's teams clubs have been invited to submit squads for the under 13-14 comp. So I think that should be fun, and I think similar things like that happen anyway, sort of down there. So it's Brisbane sort of setting up their own one. Sort of hope that's not too short a notice. So, because I think was that at Easter? That tournament? I can't remember what it was.
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me right now, but sure, let's say that.
Yeah, let's say that. Yeah, that's fun. Get around that. If that's something that interests you, have a look into that. Sort of covered off. Yeah, the Royal NPL played Solomon Islands team who are out here trying to prepare for the World Cup. Poor buggers. So,
Well, they're playing tomorrow
They played Lions tonight. I don't know. There's probably a result from that. Floating around the internet somewhere.
Oh, sorry, I was looking at a thing saying from published on March 2nd. We're recording this on the 8th of fucking March. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, they did play him, apparently.
Yes, yeah, they did play him down the Gold Coast. I think it was 1-0, I think.
I don't see the score.
Yeah, there wasn't much because it was pretty lucky to go ahead, I think, with all the rain going around. So, the NPL season did officially kick off because Strikers played... that was FQ, actually. NPL officially didn't kick off, but FQPL did kick off because Strikers were actually away playing Mackay with Sunday, so that was about the only club that wasn't flooded out on the weekend. So, that kicked off, but now, I'm sure as many people are aware around Brisbane, all the football's been postponed. It was postponed for last weekend. Is it postponed, I think, again for this weekend, off the top of my head?
I believe so, yeah. Only one game's gotten played. I'm pretty sure everything's been pushed back for a couple of weeks now. So you might be talking the 19th, 20th or so as as this official...
So teams should probably be, some teams will be able to start to go back into training this week and stuff like that. So, and obviously, as we've mentioned, plenty of clubs who are pretty hard up there. So, that probably is about that. Of course, if you do want to catch us up on the social medias, we are facebook.com/TheRawcast or @TheRawcast on Twitter, as retweeted by Vince Regari. anchor.fm/TheRawcast. That's a terrible thing to be shared.
As retweeted by Vince Regari is such a bad line, but it works on our level so well.
Exactly.
Our brand. Brand.
That's on brand for us. anchor.fm/TheRawcast as well as where we upload all these. We haven't gone to some exclusive platform. You can catch us anywhere. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts.
Yeah, we're cheap. Available wherever.
We're available wherever, that's it. So and ad-free, pretty much, really. So, what more could you want from a podcast except for professionalism?
When did we ever get ad revenue?
Yeah, professionalism.
Only ads we ever had were ones made up by us, man. What the fuck? Get your Zomerfil at your local pharmacy.
Now those North Korean restrictions have really hit them hard, but,
I think some of their players could do with some Zomerfil, to be honest. Can't make them any worse.
Well, ever since their Belarusian base got shut down, it's... Yeah. It's been a bit hard to get a hold of it, but never mind.
Yeah. Dave, let's finish this all off with a bit of tipping, shall we?
Sure thing, why not? Look, thank you very much for everyone voting in the polls. Obviously, a lot of our Twitter ends up being these polls because the games have come so sporadically. We're just like, here's another game to vote on. So thank you for voting on the polls when they do
so
come
many
up.
Games.
I really do appreciate it.
They just keep coming.
Just jam-packed
in. Appearing. It's like, oh,
February Festival of Football, and fuck it, it's March as well. So
March
it's ridiculous. Yeah, March Madness. The current scores, let's give you a bit of an update on that, and we'll touch on the dub games shortly too, but because given that we're into that season, but the current standings at the moment, Yeshiva is in seventh place. He is lagging in with 53 points. He has raised the bat at least, so good on you, Yeshiva, for getting the bat up and marking the 50 points. The listeners, you guys are 8 points ahead. You're on 61. You are actually starting to catch up a little bit, especially on Ben, who's dropped a little bit. He's on 70. Well, I say he's dropped a little bit. The field is tightened up a little bit at the top, and the listeners, you guys are little bit of inroads. Dan, you've moved into the middle of the pack. You're on 71 points.
I'm coming for you guys.
Oh, mate, only 2 points behind Price. Given how far back you were at one stage, Dan, that's actually quite an impressive catch-up. You've done well. Yeah. Pricey, you're on 73. 1 point behind myself and Rick, both on 74. We have taken the lead from you, Pricey, the lead you so long held.
Get back. I mean, my Ute League tipping was just absolutely awful there for a patch. It's been bad.
It's been pretty ordinary lately too. So that's understandable, mate. Understandable. We'll have a quick chat about the dub, and we'll get through to the final results of the dub shortly. But it must be said that obviously with only five games left to go, one regular season game and four finals games, listeners, you're not really good at tipping these ones, guys. These last five games are your redemption story because you guys have 29 tips and are by far and away the worst tippers. When I say far and away, you're not going to reach. They're only one behind Yoshiba. Yeah, I was getting to that. You just killed my fucking vibe with that. But that's okay. They're not gonna reach. Third last. But you can at least not finish last. So, listeners, I want you to really think about these tips. I want you to really put in an effort. Actually get behind these tips and make sure you do your absolute best, because even if it is only get you second last in the dub, at least it's not last, and you'll push yourself a bit closer to Ben in the total score, which is important. So let's just quickly tap on the final game of this regular season. Everyone's already tipped this, so this is already done, but Brisbane versus Canberra, for the record, everyone has tipped Brisbane except for Pricey, who has backed Canberra. You traitorous bastard, get in the bin.
To be fair, I think I put that tip in before we started this good run, like before we even beat Melbourne City.
Would you like to change your tip? You have the opportunity on the podcast to change it.
Or I just actually think we're going to run out of steam, so I'm actually going to stick with Canberra.
So you put up a defence and then you reneged the minute you were called out on it.
I stand by my statement, you're a traitorous bastard.
It's that kind of cunning that makes you the poker champ.
That's right.
Exactly.
Called my bluff when I called on his bluff. Everyone just bluffed each other.
I did change my Brisbane Newcastle tip after the first time we beat them by like four goals, especially in Yellow Fever tip. Like, yeah, can I please change? I had a draw in that game originally. I need to change that one.
Yeah, it should be noted that you're the reason we actually lost the dub result that week. I mean, me as well, but you predominantly because you definitely tipped the wrong result. You tipped Newcastle to beat Brisbane in that one.
We also won victory to beat Canberra, so
I know victory to beat Canberra, but that was at least a nil all draw. A victory release chasing finals. Yeah, that was a plausible result.
I did not know about Newcastle's injuries were before we played them. I clearly have not been paying attention to that.
Let us all tip the results for the dub semi-finals, though. So we'll start off with you, Dan. We've got Sydney versus Melbourne City on Friday night. These have all been announced today, so you'll see these polls going up probably tomorrow. Sydney, Melbourne City, Dan, who do you say?
Is it result at 90th minute?
Yes, it is. Actually, well said, actually. It is result after 90th minute, ladies and gentlemen, so make sure you tip the 90th minute result, not the overall.
I'm going draw. Extra time.
I'm going to be tipping Sydney for that one. Pricey, what do you reckon?
Yeah, Sydney as well, please.
And the elimination final, we'll see Adelaide hosting Melbourne Victory. Down there in Adelaide. This is on Sunday. This is the TV game, incidentally. So this is actually probably the right game to put on the TV, I think, because this is where all the desperation kind of comes in. I honestly think Adelaide will destroy Victory here. Victory are all sorts of all over the place. What do you reckon, Pricey?
Yeah, same. I mean, Victory have just fallen in a hole, and they'll lucky to even be in finals. So, well, yeah.
They got through the other skin of their teeth in the end. Yeah. What do you reckon, Dan?
I'm going Victory, though. I think they have good players.
To have an alternative opinion.
Last May show in finals, you might be right.
Yeah, anything can happen in one-off games, can't they? So let's get on to the Ute League. Now, we won't do everyone tip each game here. We'll just do the normal sort of process of one tip per person per game. We're going to start with Brisbane versus Wellington. These are all from Saturday, by the way, so incidentally, we're not... We're not having any Friday night games to give the. I think it was to give the air for the dub semi final.
Yeah, but
Brisbane Wellington. Dan, what do you reckon?
Oh man, I think I have to go Wellington because I really want to win the tipping since Brisbane's not going to win anything. Anyway.
Yeah, that's probably what I would have done too. Western United versus Melbourne City is actually a really interesting game. That's the top two teams in the league.
Yeah, top of the table clash.
That's actually a really tough one because City are comfortably the highest goal-scoring team, but Western United have a tight-as-fuck defence.
I think Jamie Young has 8 clean sheets, and I think the next best in the league is 4. Like,
yeah, the next best is 4. Yeah, 100%. It is in... Well, I was going to say in Tarnate. It's not in Tarnate. They don't have a stadium there, and the people building that stadium just went into administration, so it's not Tarnate.
It's
at Amy Park, yeah. It's the green seat... Green seat off. You know what? I'm gonna say Melbourne City in this one because I think they'll feel at home. It'll treat like a home game for them. Perth versus Sydney, Pricey. What say you?
Sydney.
Sydney.
Oh, yeah, he says with no confidence.
That's right. Well, if it gives you any sort of pause for thought, the last 4 games for each of those teams, both teams have gotten 1 point. Dub game? Would it be
no, I think
the
they're
dub
after
game,
the dub's early, so yeah, these two games, it's
the broadcast,
like
yeah, of course. I hope that dub game goes late and this game gets pushed back just for the lols, but I'm still going to say Adelaide will win that game. Perth will host Central Coast, that seems implausible, but that's actually on a Tuesday night in Perth. I thought they were going to play like 2 days in a row, that seems weird. Pricey, what do you reckon, Perth versus Central Coast?
Draw.
Both would be ideal for Brisbane, incidentally. A draw. Give us a chance to finish 8th. and on the Wednesday, Adelaide versus Western Sydney Wanderers. Dan, this is all on you, mate. What do you reckon will happen here?
Geez, this one's a hard one. I think I'll have to go Adelaide.
Not really. It's not really a hard one.
Western Sydney Wanderers are back, baby. They got to win.
You just tipped them a second ago to lose against MacArthur as well, so they got a win and they're becoming straight off a loss.
MacArthur's better than Adelaide.
You're probably not wrong,
Ladder
to be honest.
Say that.
Well, MacArthur's got games in hand, Pricey. I know how much you love games in hand.
The magical games in hand. It's all because we go for Everton season.
Between the A-League and the EPL, we have this argument every single time football's mentioned. How valuable are games in hand? Listeners, if you have an opinion on how valuable games in hand are, get on and add us at Twitter.
And on that note, that's the end of the tipping. Make sure you get our poll, get onto the polls, guys. Well, we'll put up the polls up to probably Sunday and then put on the midweek ones probably at the start of next week. So if you don't see all of them, they don't stress. They will go up after that. But it's just because it's hard work. It's too hard to do them that far ahead.
And, to be honest, half the games change in that amount of time anyway. So, and then you cancel the polls.
So we've just tipped a whole bunch of games that'll probably not happen. And we've done that already this year plenty of times. Trust me.
Are we going to have real trouble finishing this season in the time frame?
Probably.
I mean, yeah, we're only halfway through the season, right? And as you say, we've got like 2 months, 2.5
months.
I didn't
think we had the pressure anymore with the Foxtel deal not being.
We still
about
have to be done
canceled.
We still have to be done by June, I think.
Yeah, there's a deadline that we have to finish the season still. So yeah, we've got exactly the same issue as last year.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And then we've got a couple of teams who are going to have to disappear for Asian Champions League. Although, at least Sydney FC and Melbourne City are actually ahead in their games. Anyway. Messy, 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 messy. Which is why games just appear out of nowhere. They shuffle here and there. And Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, today they just shuffled a whole bunch of games around again.
Yeah, because
this coming weekend, it's like, okay.
Because Melbourne Victory would deny they were denied being allowed to play and travel late to their Asian Champions League game qualifier. So the Saturday night game had to be canned, which is my Melbourne Victory dropped out of the schedule. And that's so they moved. Yeah, so they'll be having a Melbourne derby against Melbourne City, and so they moved that in. Anyway, that's what happened with that one at least. So,
yeah,
you know, they find opportunities. That's what they're doing at the moment. They're just finding opportunities to make games happen. But yeah, there'll be games on random nights coming up. That's for sure. And Brisbane just seems a little bit
like there hasn't been already.
Yeah, I know. I think Brisbane's been a little bit spared from that in some ways, but yeah.
But we've decided to push things back by just having floods and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Just as they get past COVID, yeah, the floods hit. And we'll probably hit another COVID wave or something in like a month's time, just to, you know.
What's the next letter in the Greek alphabet after Omicron?
I don't know what we're up to after that. Yeah, anyway, it's at the Roarcast on Twitter, and yeah, you can get involved with those polls, or as Butsy suggests, give us your opinion on games in hand. Sometimes it's the hope.
Definitely want to hear your opinion on that.
Sometimes it's the hope you need. Yeah.
And don't forget, get onto that. If this comes out prior to the actual poll finishing, there's that poll on the A-League Women's Twitter page for Goal of the Week. Vote for Holly Palmer, because I don't want a Sydney player to win. Holly Palmer. We've currently got the lead. We're 15% ahead of Ash Satchel with 60 votes on the board. So vote for Holly Palmer.
They're buying Holly Palmer. All right.
Only time you'll be able to vote for a Palmer this year.
Just don't put hashtag Palmer. It'll give people the wrong idea.
don't say anything about freedom.
Yeah.
Don't.
And with that note, from the Communist Party of broadcasting, dear comrades, we say bid you farewell. No, thank you very much for listening, listeners. We do love you all individually. And we'll all catch you again next time. So thank you very much, Mr. Dave Stewart.
No worries, mate. Thank you for having me.
And Mr. Butsy, thank you, good sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for putting up with us for a long pod.
Yeah, this sounds like a long pod again. Bloody hell. Anyway. All right. We'll catch you again next time, listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you.